This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
Welcome to the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh and Wayne Holt of 919 Beer. Big thanks to House of Hops. They sponsor the 919 Beer Podcast. You can check out their two Raleigh locations and their Pittsburgh location. Check them out at houseofhops.com. They got 24 beers on tap. You can order online. They've got the curbside pickup. They got all sorts of goodies. They also have all sorts of fun themed nights as well. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about the Wednesday vinyl night at the McNeil Point Shopping Center. So go check them out on their social media to find out what sort of events they've got going on at the House of Hops. A little bit later on, we will talk about hydration. Not the hydration that usually comes with drinking beer,
which is actually the opposite of hydration.
You're right. This is actually about the hydration that you might need after you've had too much beer, with Hydrate Medical. But before we talk about that, I feel that, Wayne, we have to talk about how you and I have spent the last couple of months gaining weight.
I know, right? And Adam's losing weight.
And then Adam's out here on social media just setting thirst traps.
Oh, yeah. I got to give the people what they want.
Doing CrossFit Murphs.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Black and white photos.
Just like, what's going on here, man? What are you trying to do?
I think a lot of it has to do with,
I'm running, like, for, you know, shout out to Runology. They've brought back their races. I'm actually going to do the Run for Love on Saturday, the 5K. And I know the little moisture-wicking tank top that I'm going to need is going to be a belly shirt on me.
Well, speaking of running, I did.
Ocean City 82.
Actually ran twice on Saturday.
Look at you, right. Wade.
I ran out of beer and I ran to get some.
Hey now.
Yeah, see, I don't do a lot of running. So yeah. Back to Adam, though. I think it's because there's a CrossFit. He has to pass the CrossFit in the parking lot on the way to the brewery.
And when he
turns in off of Broad Street, it's right there.
Is this kind of like the Thanos thing? He's acquiring all the Infinity Stones for
next year. I'm going vegan.
That pretentious a-hole who has to talk about these things all the time. Because remember, he got the Peloton stone.
He did, mm-hmm. And then he got.
Now Peloton's broken. It's been broken for like 3 months. I still need to get it fixed.
So you got the Peloton stone.
Yes.
You've got the CrossFit stone. You are a craft beer snob, so...
That was actually first.
That was so the first stone
yes.
that you've got.
And it was a wine snob.
Oh, yeah, so there's
another
stone.
Well, yeah, but right. I mean, I think those two can...
Yeah, maybe a drink
it,
snob.
It would just call a it a beverage snob.
So what's the other stone that you need to acquire
well,
now?
Well, vegan is next.
Oh, yeah, definitely vegan. Definitely vegan.
Vegan is next, and and then I'll probably do some fringe cultish religion or political wing. That nobody is really interested in, but they have to hear about.
Wow.
Got it. Those are one of those will be next.
Exciting times ahead for us.
And then I'm good. I snap my fingers and I don't even know what'll happen.
What have you guys been up to? Besides,
I mean, mainly CrossFitting.
Besides looking sexy.
You know, it's really more of a lifestyle, Joe. It's,
yeah,
it's
nah, not really, I got it. I got it.
Like an event based thing.
Although the Murph is an event, obviously it's for raising money.
It was quite an event, and it was awesome to be a
part. It's an awesome, all jokes aside, the Murph is raising money and doing something good. I had a friend of mine, Ian, who raised money for Wounded Warriors, so.
Yes. And in addition to all my CrossFitting, I did go to the Canes game one, round two, Sunday afternoon.
I was there on Tuesday for game two.
Did y'all see me on TV?
No.
You were there Tuesday?
On the glass, baby.
Were you? Wow, and glass flex.
Glass flex,
yeah. I was just row A of the 300 level. Yeah,
dude, I'll tell you what.
Although I do love those seats.
Yeah. I sat in section 330, like right there on the corner.
Yes.
One of my favorite seats to actually watch the entire game. It was such a fun experience, and I was with my neighbor who's like a super hockey guy. Yeah. It was a blast.
To me, the best seat in the house for a hockey game is actually in the 200 level if you can sit row A.
Absolutely. Like, I totally agree. And these were one of my vendors hit me up on Tuesday morning, I guess. Hit me up Tuesday morning and said, hey, we've got our company Tickets are available for tonight on the glass. Are you interested? He didn't even finish. I went, yes.
Yeah, of course.
So,
say no more, friend.
So it's section 110, row A. So it's right. It's the goal that we defend twice.
It's where we warm up. It's where the Olympias come out.
Yes, right? Correct. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So where they come out, I would have been just to their right. But it's right in the turn. So you get to see everything.
Yeah.
And you get to feel the hits and you get to see the speed and all that stuff. So that
it's
was really
surprisingly
cool.
Quiet when you're on the glass. I've sat behind the glass.
And it's not nearly as cold down there as it is up above it.
Yeah. It's absolutely an interesting experience because, like, when you're up above the glass, like, you can hear a lot. When you're on the glass, it's almost like it's been muted.
Yeah, that's true. But Sunday afternoon, a bunch of us met at Crosstown and watched the 5 o'clock game on Sunday, which was fun. We had a good time with that. So, Joe just reminded me, Adam, you just reminded me earlier that the game is tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
So, I had not prepared for that. So,
well, you did because you just hydrated.
I guess we just did the hydration. I didn't prepare.
Completely prepared.
I didn't prepare for that with my company for tonight because she's been very good. She watched the game on Sunday afternoon and then she went with me to the game on, and she went to University of Miami, Ohio. So she's accustomed to seeing.
That's Miami University of Ohio.
Miami University of Ohio, whatever it is. Anyway, she went to the Redskins, Miami Redskins, and now are the Red Hawks.
The Red Hawks.
So she's accustomed to going and watching college hockey. And she's been to a few pro games. She said she actually saw
where Roethlisberger went?
It is, absolutely.
Yes.
A couple of years behind her. It was fun. So am I going to get three games in a row where I get to watch the entire game? I'm not feeling it.
I probably won't watch the entire game. In fact, I don't think I watched the entire game on Tuesday.
Why?
The second goal irritated me, and I was pretty tired from work.
Yeah, Tuesday, being in the building, that third period, they completely – Tampa Bay, like, absolutely eliminated the crowd.
They did. I said, you know, I went to every playoff game in 02 and 06 in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And – have never seen it so quiet in that arena in a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe and I got to do a little tailgating before.
This is Tuesday evening.
Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
So Sunday, it was quite loud.
I bet. Because Sunday, I'm sure people had more time to tailgate. I know the weather was kind of iffy.
Plus, there were 4,000 more fans Sunday than when there were the following week.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they're just trying to play out the string in terms of how they get your alcohol and all that kind of stuff.
I was disappointed with the experience. I had no idea that most of the stuff was not going to be open.
So there's two issues that are going on right now. The biggest one is just staffing.
People, absolutely.
Because, you know, what the Carolina Hurricanes are dealing with, it's no different than what I'm sure restaurants are dealing
with.
Bars, where people...
But a lot of times they have civic groups that work... that work some of those concessionaires. But like,
I think they probably have a little bit more time to acquire them, too. Though.
Joe and I spent some time in the parking lot, and Jessica and I, we all spent some time in the parking lot with Peppa Jack.
He actually texted me asking if I wanted to go to the game.
Yeah, because he had an extra ticket.
Yeah,
right.
Chris with New Belgium. So we had a couple of beers and chatted, and there's some food available. But I'm like, no, man, I want to wait and get inside, and I want to get that barbecue sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no barbecue sandwich.
So no wonder Wayne was... upset with that because he became Hangry Wayne.
I did not.
And I know what happens.
Nope, I fell right in line.
We know what happens.
When Wayne does not get his food
we know.
That he's a very
excited. I fell right in line to Chick-fil-A. Got me some Chick-fil-A. Went over and saw one of my bankers, Robert Rose, owns the Bavarian Nuts, both there and at Durham Bulls. So rolled right by and saw my buddy Robert and picked me up a couple of things of Bavarian Nuts. So
I have to imagine that things are going to get back to somewhat normal.
Next year.
Yeah. The curiosity that I'm going to have is like going to a Bulls game now that they're at 100% capacity.
Right.
Last time I checked, they were still hiring at the Durham Bulls. So
I think everybody's still hiring.
Everybody's hiring right now. And we can get into the ins and outs of why there are these staffing shortages and why people might not be inclined to come back because the conditions and the pay and all that stuff weren't exactly great to begin with. And now you're going,
You got child care. You've got school.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff.
There's all kinds of things, yeah.
But, you know, the experience that you're getting at PNC Arena is going to vastly change once we get to the fall. You know, once basketball comes back, once hockey comes back, I think it's going to be back to what it is. I mean, the numbers are so low right now that I can't imagine things ever kind of going back. So in the meantime, if you're going to go to any more playoff games, you know, let's say there's a game five. Let's hope there's a game five. The crowd is a lot of fun, but yeah, yeah. There are some frustrations with getting concessions
the
and
bathroom
and
lines. I've never seen the bathroom lines.
They were
like
fine the 300 levels, guys.
Bathroom lines are always like
I've never
that,
seen
Wayne.
It that way.
I didn't have any problems.
But again, in 02 and 06, we were section 116.
Yeah.
So you got the bathroom right there. Like, literally, we could get up.
You got your fancy bathroom.
Mm. Well, no, it wasn't a fancy bathroom. It was just, you know, they've got
what's 116, though? Is that the middle?
Yeah, right. So they've got those
that's
where
fancy.
They got the concessions.
Yeah, it's closed in.
Like, you have to have your vaccine passport to get to those bathrooms.
Wayne's out here having to pee with the commoners. So now he's like, wait a minute. What do you mean I have to wait in line?
You know, man, I got pro tips, so I didn't wait in line.
Yeah. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, Wayne's going, man, this water's cold.
I'll duck into your suite and act like I'm supposed to be there and use your bathroom and head right back out.
Yeah. All right. I was the reason why I didn't go to game one was I was actually out in the Outer Banks over Memorial Day weekend visiting my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, my niece and nephew.
Is that the really one who never buys enough beer?
Is that a weekend trip? I guess it was a long because you had Monday, right?
Yeah, so we went up on Saturday casually and then came back Sunday evening.
It's like a 4.5 hour drive.
No, it's a three and a half hour drive from where we are in Raleigh to get out to Kill Devil Hills, where they are.
Yeah, maybe Kill Devil.
It's 3.5 hours. It should only take you about 3 hours to get to Nag's Head.
I've got to go to...
But I know traffic in downtown Cary is a killer.
Kerala.
Oh, no, that's for a wedding. Yes.
Especially now when it's busy, because once you get to the Outer Banks, you've got to head north.
Well, then
if you're trying to get to Kerala, yes, that's going to take you 4.5 hours.
Adam, you'll appreciate this. My buddy Schwede's getting...
Corolla.
You know, it's Kerala.
I know.
He's getting married.
Gotcha.
And he sends out this thing and says, plan to drive a truck with four-wheel drive.
Oh, they're getting way up north.
Oh, they're all the way... They literally... You'll see the
with
post...
the horses.
Yeah, you'll see the post in the ground at the Virginia line is where they go and hang out.
Oh, so that basically it makes more sense for you to go through Norfolk.
But you can't. There's no way to get over. When I say get over, I don't have a vehicle. So when I went up there with my buddy Schwede, he's from Virginia Beach, we pulled a little John boat down, dropped it in the water, took a John boat over to the North Carolina side. And when the guy got in the John boat, his brother-in-law, he had a car battery in his hand. I'm like, why is he bringing a car battery? The boat must need a car battery. No, the boat was gas-powered. We get out. We walk over to an old-school K5 Blazer, rust bucket, drops the battery in it, gets there, and that's what we drove around the north end of the beach.
That's the taxi. That makes sense.
But, Adam, I may have to borrow your Jeep for the weekend because the Volvo does not have the proper type of four-wheel drive to do sand. I did some research.
It does not, no.
So I'm like, that's not going to work. So
the thing about the beach this weekend is that the weather stunk. But anyway, while the weather was decent enough as we drove up there, ended up going to Fish Heads.
Saw that. Never been.
Oh, that's right.
Looking forward
to going.
Where I saw one of your stickers on the... I saw a sticker, but I did not see one of your beers on tap.
They have not ordered from us yet this season.
A pro tip...
We're working on that.
Pro tip, though, I know that things are easing up post-pandemic, right? And everybody's really excited to be out and whatnot. But when there's a line of people trying to get a beer at the outdoor bar while everybody's waiting to get a seat at Fish Heads.
Don't cut.
It's not so much don't cut, it's keep it moving. This one dude just decided I'm going to sit there at the bar and I'm going to put my stuff in a koozie and I'm going to open it up right there and I'm going to be flirting with the bartender. It's like, buddy, get out of the freaking way. It's time for it was so bad that he was not moving that the bartender actually looked over his shoulder, looked at me and gave me a nod like, what do you need?
Wow.
Because this guy just was not moving. And then I pulled up to the side of him to get my beer. Guy looks at me, cracks open another beer, and it like spills on me. And he's like, oh, sorry. I'm like, man, we're just batting 1,000 here today, aren't we?
Glad I wasn't with you, Joe.
So, right. You would have. But anyway, this is yet another one
Hide
of those examples. This is another one of those examples of, you know what? I know the pandemic wasn't great for businesses, but man, I do sort of miss just kind of being the only one there. Yeah. But anyway, it was. We also went out to a couple of tiki bars, and there's a tiki bar in the Ramada near Kill Devil Hills, Kitty Hawk area.
They got that big. They got the pool and stuff out the back.
Yeah, sure. Where we're staying,
I stayed there a couple of years ago.
They actually gave you like the glass tikis. But then later that evening, went to Food Dude's Kitchen, which is the spot that we typically go to by my brother-in-law's, and then we ended up in Collington Island, which is in the Sound. And there was this dive bar called the Blue Crab. And they don't take credit card. They don't take Apple Pay. They don't take check. It's a cash-only bar.
Yeah.
And
that's why they only work during one season.
What's that?
They work during beach season, and they take the rest of the year off because, yeah, we only made $26 this year. We're going to pay much taxes on that.
So the so walking into the Blue Crab, I mean, it is the quintessential dive bar, man. I had never been in there. And even my brother-in-law was kind of like, are you sure you want to go here? I'm like, yeah, why not? I love a dive bar. Let's go. When I walked in there, it was almost like the record scratch. It was clearly like, who are these people?
Otis, my man.
Right. It's like clearly like, you're not a regular, are you?
They spotted you quick.
Oh, like. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not a regular. You're not a regular. So anyway, the everything was cash, but it's typically what you expect. You know, Pabst, Wild Domestics and stuff like that. I think the only like craft beer they had was Red Oak, so I immediately went for the Red Oak in the bottle. There's nothing on draft. So if you want to have a moment like that when you're going to the Outer Banks this year for the summer or something like that, by all means, go to the Blue Crab, and you too can have a moment where, oh, you're not a regular, are you? And bring cash.
Bring cash.
Absolutely bring cash.
I tell you, man, I say this to everybody. You always got to walk with some cash.
I know. You sound like my dad.
You got to walk with cash because you never know.
Although that's my hustle. When I see my dad, he always asks for my wallet. He's like, you never carry cash.
I knew I was going to see it.
Exactly. And then next thing you know, I got some $20 bills coming my way.
So Fish Heads is where? Kill Devil Hills?
No, that's in Nag's Head.
Nag's Head. It's Nag's Head Fishing Pier.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Whoa, Wayne, cash flex.
Jeez, Wayne. As if Wayne doesn't like to flex enough.
Greens.
Oh, on my glass seats. And oh, I'm just walking to the eye to get some stuff.
Oh, yeah, I did run into you, didn't I?
Yeah, when I was doing the show on Tuesday.
I'm sliding up to the eye to pick up a sweatshirt or something and look across the parking lot and there's Joe sitting up. I'm like, man, I can't freaking hide from anybody.
No, you can't, Wayne. No, you can't. Let's get back to something that we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, that Adam and Wayne went and got hydrated, and not, you know, in the ironic sense of, you know, had a couple beers or whatever it was. You guys actually went out to Hydrate Medical to get an IV drip of all sorts of stuff to keep you hydrated, stuff that might actually help you get over a hangover.
Yeah, in fact, it was called the Epic Hangover Package, right?
And I'm pre-gaming because I'm going to do it before I have the hangover.
We'll get to
preventive,
that in a second.
Preventive medicine, yes. For Wayne. mine's more for, you know, for my athletic performance.
Of course. Whatever. Of course. Of course. Jonathan Leake, MD, is the owner, the CEO, the medical director of Hydrate Medical. He's joining us now on the 919 Beer Podcast. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
So let's kind of talk about the idea behind this and the various things that happen with Hydrate Medical. Like I'm looking at a price card here of basic things like the Hydrate Basic or the Wellness, the Jet Lag, the Athlete, the Immune Boost. But what Adam and Wayne did today was the hangover. So
it was like the Denny's Grand Slam of Hydrate Medical.
When I want to get over a hangover, right. I'll go to Bojangles and I'll get myself a Cajun filet biscuit combo with fries and a tea. I'm assuming that you did not boil that down to its essence in IV form. There's actual, like, real quality ingredients and nutrients in what you're doing here.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We tried to figure out how to convert Bojangles into an IV drip, but it didn't look very healthy when we melted it down. What a fat.
That would be a sludgy drip.
I'm intrigued by this now.
I'd rather
it
have,
would just be sausage gravy.
So what, really,
I'd rather have the Waffle House.
So what is the science behind getting over a hangover and what you guys are doing here? Because most people might think, I'll just have some Pedialyte or Gatorade. Yeah. And that's only going to do so much. So what are you guys trying to do here?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's easiest to start with talking a little bit about what a hangover really is and what makes a hangover, if that's cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, hangovers, we all kind of know what they feel like, or at least most of us do. Looks like there's about 15 or 20% of people that are kind of naturally resistant to hangovers. We hate those guys, obviously, but
that's an actual thing. People are naturally resistant to hangovers.
Yeah, it looks like this whole idea of hangovers kind of way understudied. Obviously, it's not something that a lot of research money goes into. But what we do know is that about 15-20% of people don't experience a hangover. So it's kind of interesting. Wow. But you know, so basically, when you look at a hangover, it's really a constellation of symptoms. You know, you're looking at these things that we all know about, nausea, headache, aches, fatigue, you know, stomach upset, this kind of restlessness, anxiety. So you kind of put all those symptoms together and, you know, you get this kind of nasty feeling of a hangover. And so, you know, the easiest way to kind of look at how do we fight a hangover is to kind of start with looking at, you know, where a hangover comes from. And, you know, in the very basics, we know that it can come from drinking 15 beers or, you know, some whiskey. You know, so I guess I wanted to kind of start with what's kind of caused some of your guys' worst hangovers, or you guys have any good hangover
stories?
Well,
I mean, my worst hangovers typically occur because I'm old now, and I don't drink as much as I used to. I mean, there is that factor as well. You're not in, for lack of a better term, game shape for drinking like you did back in college or your early 20s. But I know myself now. If I want to avoid a hangover, I have to stick with one thing. So if I'm going to be drinking beer for an extended period of time, I have to drink one type of beer. It's going to be...
It's like really specific.
It is. Like, yeah. I have to drink lagers. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to be drinking a lot, I will drink lagers for an extended period of time. If I'm going to go, like when we did...
Well, you have to drink a lot of lagers to get a hangover.
Well, there is that too.
Or pilsners.
Or pilsners, for that matter. So for me, I got to stick with one style. If I start to mix in an IPA and then a New England, and then I mix it up with some sort of golden ale or whatever it is, I will feel bad later. If I stick with liquor only, it has to be that particular liquor. So like when I do the Spindrift Vodka Summers or the Ranch Water Madness, I will get drunk. You guys have seen me on Ranch Water, but you know how I feel the next day? I feel fine. I'm a little groggy because I slept poorly or whatever, but I'm not hung over necessarily. But I'll flashback
to... You're
not
in pain. You're still technically hung over.
Yeah, but I'm not in pain.
Right.
But like that time we did the beer podcast out in Wilmington, right? So I mixed in beer.
Yeah, everything.
I had wine.
3/4 of a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I had white wine. And then we ended up at
Front Street, where we had bourbon.
Yes. I felt like ass the next day.
So that's usually what gets me is when
you mix all that stuff up, that's when I get bothered.
So here's my theory.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is experience-based, not necessarily medical-based.
Sure.
I drink a ton of water.
Sure.
And
I've never seen you so much as buzzed.
I don't really love the drunk feeling, but I really love beer. I really love spirits, cocktails, you name it. And I like to experience all of them. But if I drink enough water, I'm usually like when I'm out, at least one or two glasses of water per drink.
Okay.
And it's fine. Especially like when I'm on vacation because I'm in the sun and you know you're going to dehydrate more quickly. Like I drink a ton of water and I can usually keep a decent pace for that. But I think, Joe, when you mix stuff and you're being social.
Yeah.
You lose track of keeping up with that water.
I could tell you the worst time.
And that's what happens. And it's not, I don't think it's necessarily the mix. Maybe the good doctor is going to prove me wrong here, but I don't necessarily think for me, it's not the mix. It's the enjoyment of the mix and losing track of, oh, I let this get away from me. And now you can't put the toothpaste back in the
That was me in San Antonio for a Final Four on a media hospitality night where it went from beer to beer to mixed margaritas. And the next thing you know, I end up somewhere.
Oh, and all that sugar, too.
Yeah, I end up somewhere on the Riverwalk, and my glass of red wine never actually went down. Like, it kept getting refilled. I don't know how I made it.
Right.
I don't know how I made it back to my hotel room that night.
Without
falling into the Riverwalk.
Yep.
But I somehow did it. I don't know how I did it. And it took me until dinner the next day to actually feel somewhat normal. So something to the fact that you mix all those things together, you're just asking for trouble?
Yeah. I think that, you know, you guys probably kind of hit the nail on the head that the, you know, biggest thing with mixing is that you're just kind of, usually that's a sign of kind of this chaos. I'm hitting a hard event, right? You know, where you're just digging in and I'm going to drink whatever somebody puts in front of me. Mm-hmm. And you certainly lose track of what you're drinking, where if you're doing a good job of, you know, hydrating between, hey, I'm going to have some water, I'm going to have a beer, I'm going to have another water, some beer. That certainly kind of seems to cut down on your conscience a little bit. But you guys also, you know, hit on, you know, as you mix things. So each alcohol that we drink has kind of these other substances in it too, called cogeners. That's kind of this fancy medical term for it. But basically that, you know, when you look at brown liquors, white liquors, beers, there's all these other substances that are mixed into these liquors and alcoholic beverages. And some of those can be a little bit helpful. We know, you know, about some of the substances in red wine that kind of actually decrease inflammation and can, you know, help actually have some health benefits. But, you know, some of these other substances can really kind of cause a little bit of havoc and inflammation in the body. And, you know, certainly if you're mixing liquors, you're mixing drink, then you're exposing yourself to more and more of these kind of other substances. You know, so you're also making a little bit of a cocktail of inflammation. And so, you know, that can kind of contribute to these symptoms as well. We know that alcohol itself kind of causes a lot of things that lead to hangovers. You know, it causes dehydration, blocks your body's ability to kind of keep water and absorb water. And, you know, that's why when we drink, we end up peeing a lot that we all know about. And then it also causes a lot of inflammation. You know, it's very pro-inflammatory in the body, and that causes stomach upset and kind of these aches and pains that we have. So a lot of what we kind of put into these cocktails is kind of aimed at fighting these ingredients, you know, these other things that are in alcohol and the direct effects of alcohol that are causing all this inflammation and pain and suffering that you feel the next day.
So I'm curious, now that I'm hungover, right? Well, not now, not as of the recording of this podcast.
Not yet.
But let's say...
In theory.
Let's walk this through.
Hypothetically.
Let's say that at some point this summer, Wayne and I get crazy because we know Adam's too goody, good two shoes.
Yeah, I mean,
to do
he's that college athlete body, yeah. That mindset. He's just all about training.
Yeah, he's all about that training right now.
Yeah, that's why he drinks two waters.
So let's say Wayne and I, you and I start out, let's say we start out at Bond and then we end up at Sidebar.
Get a sidecar at the Sidebar.
Yeah, do that. Yes. I don't know. We end up at like Maiden.
Bull City Cider across the street.
And so I'm like, next thing you know, I'm at Maiden. And I don't know. I mean, if we get invited. And then
Wayne's got an open invite.
And then we end up at like Maiden or something like that. And I'm just like scarfing wings or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just doing all the things, right? Wayne and I are just living it up.
I mean, that's my normal Friday night.
Well, I know.
It's Wayne on a Wednesday afternoon.
And I feel terrible that morning. I need you all. How does this work? Do I call up? Do I just show up? Like, what are we doing here?
So both, yeah. We certainly accept walk-ins. Our clinic has gotten insanely busy in the 2 years that we've been open. So we recommend appointments. But we accept call and text even. So you can just text the office and say, you know, hey, this is Wayne. I really hit it hard. I'm on my way in. Make a bed for me. And head on in. But, you know, basically you get an appointment booked, you know, any of those ways. You can call online, text, or even walk in if that's just what you need at the time. And so you come in and we sit you down in either a wonderful, comfortable chaise or in one of our sofas. You can sit back and turn on Netflix if you like, or you can just lay back and listen to music. And then you'll be greeted and kind of welcomed by one of our super experienced nurses. Almost all our nurses are ER experienced nurses, have great IV experience. And so they'll kind of walk you through that menu and find out, you know, what's going on, what are you feeling, what do you need, and kind of help you pick the drip that you need. And then they mix it up and we get the IV started and get things flowing, get you feeling better.
So, you know, Wayne and I, obviously we just came from there. We walked in. I want to kind of set the stage for people because I
wasn't sure what to expect.
Wayne wasn't sure what to expect. We walked in. This is just outside of downtown Raleigh.
Yes, it's in Glenwood South. I mean, it's a great place to be for what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not far
we love the hood.
From anything. And it's nice, friendly front door. You walk in, and it's almost like walking into a day spa.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, Wayne, Joe, you guys know you like going to get your nails done.
Absolutely.
In certain places. we've talked about this, but it is... It's a peaceful, almost zen type feeling, at least to me. It's not at all, it doesn't feel medical. It doesn't feel like sterile.
It was not sterile at all, no. I was, I don't know if you guys did the remodel on this home or if you bought it.
We did, yeah.
But you did a fantastic job. It's really cool. I mean, I built high-end houses for a living, and the feel and the way things were done, the way things were decorated, and just the overall layout of and the chaise lounges were on point. That's what Dylan initially set us in the room on the right where the sofas were, and Adam felt like he needed to be able to lie down. So we moved over to the chaise, which were absolutely on point. But lots of options of where you can sit and obviously what you can do. But the feel was very comfortable.
Yeah, and obviously you guys do more than just hangover treatment.
Yeah.
But can we talk about what Wayne and I got? We got the epic hangover. Can you kind of take us through kind of what all that is? You talked about kind of the reason for hangovers. Why this is your reason for treating them?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So you guys got like the Mac Daddy drip, you know, which is really kind of focused on taking a hangover and turning it upside down and getting you feeling better and kind of getting your day back. And so, you know, as we talked about the science of hangover, you know, really what we're doing is we're trying to reverse all those negative effects that the alcohol's had. So, you know, first and foremost, dehydration. So we know that we're dehydrated. I think everybody kind of knows that, you know, drinking some fluid the next day helps you feel better faster. Well, giving you the IV fluid directly into your vein kind of helps. It works faster and we're getting more fluid in you in a quicker way. So we give 1 to 2 liters of fluid. That's the equivalent of drinking 1 to 2 gallons of water. And, you know, that's really hard to do, particularly if you're hungover and feeling bad, you have nausea, you know, just trying to drink that much fluid is just really difficult. But getting it directly in your IV, obviously very beneficial. We get the hydration back quickly. It's a balanced fluid, so it has electrolytes in it, sodium, potassium, chloride, all those sort of things that kind of help. You know, it's like a super Gatorade going directly into your IV. And then, so what we've done is we've kind of added to that these various nutrients that kind of help fight the symptoms. And so usually once we start the IV, the first thing we'll ask is, what are your worst symptoms? Are you having headache? Are you having nausea? Are you having upset stomach? And so we have medications that kind of directly treat those. We have an anti-inflammatory medication, Toradol, a nausea medicine, Zofran, and kind of antacid, Pepcid. And so we can put those things directly into the IV. And those work really quickly, really fast to kind of fight that inflammation and that stomach upset. So usually within 5 minutes or so after receiving those medicines, most people report feeling 50% better from their hangover just from kind of getting the IV started, getting those fluids going and getting those medications. And then in the bag itself, we mix in B vitamins, B12. You know, a lot of people know about B12, kind of boost energy. Vitamin B helps, all the vitamin Bs kind of help support your overall body's wellness. It has a lot to do with neurotransmitter function. And so we're kind of trying to restore all the ingredients that the body needs to kind of function normally and kind of get back to normal functioning. We use dexpanthenol, which is a specialized vitamin B6. And it actually works to kind of calm the gut and kind of get your stomach and GI tract kind of back to working normally. It's something that's been used a lot in post-anesthesia. So like if you go in for surgery and you're having some stomach upset afterwards, they use dexpanthenol. It seems to work really well in kind of this hangover setting particularly. And then we have vitamin C in there, which obviously boosts immunity, but also works as a strong antioxidant, kind of helps bind the toxins and get rid of them. And then kind of one last substance that's awesome that we give as well is called glutathione. And so glutathione is a substance that your body makes naturally. It's a really strong antioxidant, super sticky molecule, kind of runs around the body, kind of binding to toxins and eliminating them. But it kind of, your body runs out of it pretty quickly, particularly in a state where you've kind of slammed your body with a lot of toxins through, you know, drinking various liquors and alcohols the night before. And so given this extra dose of glutathione kind of goes in and binds, it kind of helps clean up any remaining toxins that might be around. So really, we're kind of hitting the body and kind of restoring the vitamins it needs, restoring the hydration it needs, and kind of trying to fight the inflammation and symptoms it might be having at the same time.
Yeah, and the whole thing, I mean, about 30 minutes? We were kind of in and out 30 to 40 minutes?
Yeah, 30 to 40.
So
yeah, most people are in and out within an hour. So, you know, the drip itself usually takes about 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was super convenient.
He said we both had great veins, large veins. So
my veins are nice. A pain in the butt.
Ran right through. So
our nurses are awesome. So they rarely struggle with IVs. You know, we see people all the time that come in and go, man, I've got really difficult veins. They can never get my IV in the hospital. And, you know, our nurses just put the IV right in. They
that's typical.
20 to 30 of these a day. So they're pretty good at it.
All right. So after I get this, IV treatment, I really only have two questions. How long does it take to kick in, typically?
Sure.
I mean, I know you gave me a percentage of, you know, what people feel, things like that. But typically, how long does it take to kick in?
Yeah. So, you know, most people notice about a 50% reduction in symptoms 5 to 10 minutes into the drip.
Okay.
And then by the end of the drip, most people are saying, hey, my symptoms are 60 to 80% gone. And then really 2 or 3 hours after that, you know, you should be seeing 80, 85% you know, reduction. One of the things that we are always kind of fighting and we just can't get people over is the lack of sleep. You know, a lot of times when you have these crazy nights that lead to a hangover, you're up till 2 a.m, 3 a.m, and then, you know, you're up at 10 trying to have your day, and it's just hard to get, you know, replace that sleep. So, you know, you may be left with a little bit of fatigue, a little bit of mental cloudiness still just from the lack of sleep. Your quality of sleep goes down when you drink as well, but, you know, at least you should have most of your symptoms are gone. You know, you're feeling better, you're feeling clearer, you have some energy and can kind of get back, you know, to your day. That's our number one goal, is obviously to get people back to their day, you know, for sure.
The other question is, once I get this thing done, how long am I going to be peeing the rest of the day?
Yeah. You know, it's,
I mean, if you're hydrated this much, my guess is you're going to be going to the bathroom plenty.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some people notice some increased urine output. You may notice a little bit of change to the color or smell of your urine. As your body kind of uses the vitamins that it needs, and then it kind of excretes the rest in your urine. So
Wayne was very surprised by the odor.
Like 30 minutes, yeah. We leave there and drive straight to the station. I go to the bathroom, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. So your body kind of absorbs all these vitamins it needs, and then what it doesn't need, it kind of excretes. And so your urine smells a little bit like a multivitamin for a day. But you'll notice some increased urination, you know, maybe, you know, an additional 2 or 3 episodes of voiding over the few hours afterwards. But really, most people go into this so dehydrated, you know, that your body kind of needed that fluid. So it's going to try to hold on to a lot of it.
You also have multiple other, you know, sessions, therapies that you can do, right? I mean, yeah. It's not all based it's based on hydration, hence the name, correct. But it's not necessarily based on hangovers. I mean, where did the...
Yeah, the jet lag. Oh, you've got the athletes. I mean, you got...
Yeah, there's one for jet lag. There's one for your immune system. With all of those, have you or do you have an option where... do you ever go like to events? Do you have like a mobile option, if that makes sense?
We do. Yeah. So, you know, I'm an emergency medicine physician by training. My partner Keith is a nurse practitioner. We've had tons of emergency medicine experience together. Keith is actually a triathlete. He's done several Ironman races and now does some competitive CrossFit. And so, you know, certainly the athlete and kind of the healthy boosting side of our business is, you know, a huge focus for us as well. Probably actually 60-70% of what we do is primarily health and athletic driven. So we've done, you know, certainly on-site trips for CrossFit competitions. You know, we've done booths at various races and things as well. You know, it's been funny at the races, you know, these help a lot, like post-marathon. You know, you get a huge buildup of lactate, a lot of dehydration, and so we can certainly help flush that out. But we found every time we set up a tent at the end of a marathon, people kind of run past us and go straight to the beer tent.
Sure,
the IV hydration. So.
I was just curious because it's usually beer and chocolate milk later. Is what you get at the end of a marathon. Yeah. So.
Exactly. And we do offer mobile service as well. We probably do, you know, 1 to 2 home calls a day where we're going out to somebody's place. And, you know, that picks up a lot in the summer where people are doing lake house parties and, you know, all that sort of thing. And, you know, have a group, they want us to come treat wedding season. I would see a ton of wedding parties as well.
Wow. I want to go to one of those weddings.
That sounds like a fun wedding.
I know, right?
All right, well, Jonathan.
We certainly saved a few wedding days.
we appreciate it. Fascinating stuff with Hydrate Medical. And now people will know what to do if they're bad off like me. Although I do want to do this. Wayne, we have to go get blitzed.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's do this.
Just to go what?
Just tell me
go
when.
Get blitzed. Let's go.
We got to get turned.
Turn up.
I'm just trying to get him at the CrossFit competition, in October.
No, thank you.
There you go. We'll help you get ready for that. Yeah, thanks for having me. We really appreciate it.
The science of hangovers.
Science of hangovers is more enjoyable than dealing with the actual.
This is true. Like, you know, like, look, my guy, Michael Felder, he has his Hand in the Dirt podcast and all that stuff. He works over at Stadium. He's always tweeting about, like, it's not the alcohol that's getting you, it's your age. It's like you're just out of practice. Like, why, you know, why were you able to bounce back, you know, back when you were in college? Well, A, you were younger, you were doing it more often, and now, because the issue that I have with hangovers now is it's not just a day. It's now 2 days. There's the day after where I feel like crap, And then I'm still I have to sleep that off, and then I'm still
a little groggy
the next day. And it's not until that second night of sleep that I'll finally be over whatever it is I was dealing with. Mm. Look, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a while for me to be anywhere close to that.
It's so. Hell getting old. And look, I will admit that I will let
by a long shot, so.
I will let things get away from me.
Well, I mean, so, you also need to prepare, and I think that's part of what a lot of people don't like. It's like preparing to go run.
Yeah.
Like, you got to make your water.
Prepare, like, turning your bed down before you leave? Or what? Putting the water beside your bed before you go out?
Yeah. Pre-hydrate. Pre-hydrate. If you're going to go out, have a few. If you're going to a party or something.
Oh, so you plan these.
Have a few glasses of water before
happen.
Have a base. Like, people talk about having a base of food. Totally get that. Totally fine. But have hydration, because if you've gone all day and you've only had coffee in the morning and you haven't had anything to drink since your soda at lunch, and then you're going to meet somebody for drinks and going out the rest of the evening, you're going to be hurting the next day.
Yeah, so like Sunday afternoon, I meet a bunch of folks out to watch the hockey game, and I'm sitting there drinking pernicious and whatever else I was drinking. They're all, you know, their IPAs around 7%, and I'm drinking those during the hockey game. And sometime in the second period, somebody at the bar decides to buy, you know, 14 shots of Jameson.
Ooh.
And sits one in front of me. I don't shoot Jameson, right? I don't drink Jameson. If I'm going to do a shot, it's typically going to be tequila. And it's going to be a good tequila. If I'm going to sip whiskey, it's not going to be Jameson. It's going to be a good whiskey, and I'm going to sip it. Anyway, somebody decides to do this. So I do a shot of Jameson. Well, then a little while later, you know, I drink my beer, drink another beer. Somebody decides to buy Jessica a Sex on the Beach and sends it down.
At Disney, they call that Fun on the Beach.
So here I am.
Cake by the ocean.
So she doesn't want the sweet drink. We get up. We walk next door. I take the drink. I take my beer. She gets another wine or whatever she's drinking. We go over to the next door. As soon as I walk in next door, because sister businesses, we were kind of moving back and forth between the two. We walk in the door. Somebody's got an open bottle of Basil Hayden, pours me a shot of Basil Hayden. So here I am. I've got a beer, a Basil Hayden, and a Sex on the Beach in my hand.
Forget it. It's right? Good night, Wayne.
I knocked them all out. And then I go, and I was fine. I mean, I got up, went to work Monday. Actually, I didn't work Monday because we were
Because you're Wayne.
No, because it was a holiday.
Because he was hungover.
It was a holiday. I wasn't hungover.
Okay.
But that's usually what gets me is when I start mixing those things. Then if I go have a glass of wine on top of that, then it's like,
oh, forget it.
I am, right?
That's
a good Sunday afternoon.
That's a lot.
I typically don't do that again.
No.
Where other people are handing you things.
Yeah, when people hand you things, like that's what happened to me in San Antonio.
And I've got this one buddy I hang out with a lot in downtown Cary that you can say, all right, man, this is my last beer, and you're ready to go. And next thing you know, he sits another one down in front of you, a fresh one.
Then I got to send the apology text after, too. So. But anyway.
Going back to my point, though, If you
Adam's
got it all figured out, man.
If you're serious about this, guys, we can have the athletics conversation. Uh-huh. Just you have to be ready.
Uh-huh.
You're
the only one with a college scholarship here to play athletics.
You need to make sure you're hydrating yourself, and if not, you're going to suffer the consequences. And now you have a bailout here.
I drink a ton of water.
One thing I do like Hydrate Medical, and I think honestly, the coolest part of about this whole thing is they offer so many more services.
They do.
That Joe cut us off. We couldn't even get to.
I know, right?
Well, but we're talking about hangovers.
Are we ever going to do our Asheville trip? Just segue or sidebar. But anyway, the times we've gone to Asheville or we've gone to Charlotte that one time we went, you know, the thing with Adam is when you do an all day beer tour trip in Asheville is that, you know, he's going to be the one that's going to be sober all day.
Yeah.
Because he's going to drink beer, water. And usually when I'm traveling with him and knowing we're going to do 10 breweries and we're going to be out for 8 hours, which we've done those trips many times. I'll do the same thing. I'll beer, water, mm-hmm. until I get to about 8 o'clock in the evening. And I'm like, right now, I don't care. I'm just going to drink.
So much peeing.
Yeah, well, I'm 58 years old, man. At my age, you never pass a bathroom without stopping.
Absolutely not. All right, so what do we got coming to next week?
Oh, you? Why? I was.
He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
You're never ready.
It's just. It's a recurring gag now on this podcast.
No, I mean. I feel like we still have time on this, but you're like, no, wrap it up. I got Coach K stuff to get to. Oh,
who is this Coach K you speak of?
Next week.
I love how you guys just have all the leisure time in the world, and I'm trying to keep it, you know, keep it tight here. But anyway.
Thursday's a day I'm out of the brewery for a little bit.
Let me enjoy this time. You're like a parent away from the kids at a Target. Like, let me just enjoy shopping in peace.
Wow.
So
Pinehurst.
Yeah.
Pinehurst.
Oh, what about it? Wait, are we going to Pinehurst?
Yes.
Eric Mitchell left Pinehurst back in around the first of the year.
Yes.
Didn't tell many people.
Yeah.
Moved back to Alabama. That's home.
Yeah.
He's thinking about starting his own place.
Sure.
But Hunter Downing, his assistant, got promoted to head brewer there now, and he's going to come up next week.
Oh, so I thought you got us on number two.
Not number two, but he is. He has further extended the invitation for us to go down and play.
Okay.
If you'd like to do such a thing.
I think we should do that. That could be fun.
Let me know. I can make it happen.
My game looks so bad. What are we playing?
I played number one down there last year.
We'll just play the putt-putt course outside.
That's about all.
I'll just go down there and play croquet. They have a whole, like,
they do.
Croquet system.
Yeah, they do have that.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hunter's going to come up from Pinehurst. We're going to catch up with him.
All right.
And if you haven't been to Pinehurst...
Yeah, last time...
To the brewery.
Yeah.
Totally worth that trip, and the food is outstanding.
Yeah.
I have not.
Really excellent.
Well, reminder, you can check out the 919 Beer Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You're probably listening to that on podcast form right now. If you're new to the podcast, we've got a bunch of great interviews in the past, so go check that out. 5 stars only, because positive vibes only.
It's 2021, after all.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about the positive vibes. We'll see you all next week.
Cheers. Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.